Hello everyone, I'm your moderator, Amanda Valby with Cardiology Consultant. According to Go Red for Women, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women, causing 1 in 3 deaths each year. With us today to talk more about heart health in women is Dr. Lakshmi Mehta, who is a non-invasive cardiologist and professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiovascular Medicine at The Ohio State University. She also holds the Sarah Ross Soder Endowed Chair in Women's Cardiovascular Health and is the Section Director of Preventative Cardiology and Women's Cardiovascular Health at OSU. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Mehta.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk more about CVD in pregnancy. Are there particular medications not indicated for women who are pregnant? And what are the alternatives?
Yeah, so pregnancy can be a challenge. And so I'll focus this response on pregnancy in terms of coronary disease, because otherwise it gets so vast. But there's little information regarding guideline-directed medical therapy and fetal safety. And so it's challenging caring for the pregnant female. We know that low-dose aspirin appears to be safe, so we can use that in our pregnant patients with coronary disease. But there's very little information regarding the P2Y12 inhibitors. And so we would recommend the shortest duration possible when using agents like clopidogrel. Other blood thinners like prasugrel, ticagrelor, glycoprotein 2B3A inhibitors, or bivalirudin are not generally recommended given the absence of adequate data in pregnancy. Blood thinners like heparin does not cross the placenta, and it doesn't affect the fetus directly. However, some women are on long-term anticoagulation during pregnancy, so not just in the coronary disease situation. For instance, women with prosthetic mechanical valves. And so in those patients that are on long-term heparin, bleeding complications and delivery planning becomes more problematic and really requires planned thought to that process. But short-term use of heparin during PCI may outweigh bleeding complication risk. So unfortunately, if a female does need coronary intervention during pregnancy, then heparin has been used. Additionally, beta blockers can be used in myocardial infarction patients, and beta blockers have been used extensively in pregnancy for management of hypertension, arrhythmias, Marfan syndromes, and other arrhythmias. But there's no real reports of teratogenic effects from beta blockers, but anecdotal reports of side effects like bradycardia, hypoglycemia, and apnea at birth after prolonged maternal administration of beta blockers such as atenolol. And there's also some reports of possible increased rates of fetal growth retardation with agents like atenolol. However, in pregnancy, most of the gynecologists and cardiologists, if they need to use a beta blocker, labetalol is often the preferred agent. And then if a female is breastfeeding her infant, we need to recognize that the concentration of a beta blocker is sometimes higher in breast milk, so the infant does need some monitoring as well. So beta blockers have been safely used in pregnancy for the most part. Nitrates sometimes in our coronary patients or those that are having chest discomfort may require that, and they can be used in pregnancy, but nitrates you want to just really try and avoid maternal hypotension. Other classes of agents that are used is calcium channel blockers. So nifedipine, which is a dihydropyridine calcium channel blocker, is the only calcium channel blocker that's commonly used in hypertension or preeclampsia. There really is limited data on uses of verapamil or diltiazem. And it's also important to remember in the nursing mother that calcium channel blockers can be excreted in human milk as well. Additionally, ACE inhibitors and ARBs, which are used in cardiac patients, are really contraindicated in pregnancy patients due to fetal toxicity and concern of development of fetal kidney abnormalities. So pregnancy and heart disease is challenging, and having, you know, thought and the right care team and having strong collaboration between cardiology and OB to form the pregnancy heart team is imperative. And we need to think of pregnancy in terms of not only during the pregnancy, but it really requires pre-pregnancy planning during pregnancy and the lactation state as well, in terms of our choice of agents. And so if people want to hear more, see more, there's the European Society of Cardiology has some updated guidelines on cardiovascular disease and pregnancy.
What role do statins play in treatment plans for pregnant women?
Statins are a staple in primary and secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease. However, they're contraindicated in pregnancy due to the lack of safety information. There's also a concern that it may significantly impact cholesterol biosynthesis, which is important for fetal development. So typically in a patient that needs primary or secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease, we would recommend to avoid statins, fibrates, niacin, ezetimibe during pregnancy. And if someone is planning to get pregnant, then we plan to stop them before. So statins, typically we would stop 1 to 2 months before a patient is trying to get pregnant. And then if they inadvertently get pregnant while on a statin, then they should stop it as soon as they discover that they're pregnant. We would not recommend statins to be started until they've completed lactation. And that's the same with many of the other cholesterol medications. Currently, bile acid sequestrants like colesevelam doesn't need to be stopped during pregnancy because it's not systemically absorbed. People can find more information on this in the 2018 ACC/AHA cholesterol guidelines. And then the other thing to remember is that there's familial hypercholesterolemia, which is being recognized more and more lately. And that poses a problem during pregnancy because not only the statins, but the PCSK9 inhibitors are not to be given during pregnancy. And so if they're homozygote FH or they have significant atherosclerotic disease, sometimes we're recommending LDL apheresis. Regardless of if patient is on cholesterol medications or not for primary or secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease, whether pregnant or not, we always recommend an appropriate diet, exercise, and weight management.
Can you give us an example of a challenging patient who was pregnant? How did you create her CVD prevention treatment plan?
Sure. I'll briefly mention we had a 39-year-old female who has a history of hypertension, hyperlipidemia with significantly elevated triglycerides up in the 3000s, diabetes, hypothyroidism, and a history of pancreatitis. She presented to our lipid clinic for management of her hypertriglyceridemia of 3000. She was already on a statin, but clearly the triglycerides were not controlled. So we had placed her on fenofibrate. At that time, she was also on an oral contraceptive pill. So she had adequate birth control methods, and that we recommend for all women of childbearing ages to be on some sort of birth control methods. And we strongly recommended dietary changes for this patient at that time. And in our lipid clinic, we have a strong collaboration with not only the physician, but our pharmacy team and dietitian. So close follow-up and monitoring of her labs. And clearly, with the addition of fenofibrate and dietary changes, her triglycerides significantly improved. However, she came back after several months after getting the triglycerides under control that she was going to have a wedding in a few months. And thereafter, she wanted to get pregnant pretty quick because of her advanced age. So we told her, okay, as soon as you think that you may want to start trying to conceive, then give us 2 months notice and let's have you come into the office. So she came into the office. We stopped her statin 2 months prior to her decision of trying to conceive. And we also took her off the fenofibrate. At that time, her triglycerides were significantly elevated. We had discussed it with her obstetrician, and it was approved for her to be on prescription omega-3 supplementation. And that did help her triglycerides somewhat, along with really strict dietary control. And then we recommended that if her LDL should increase, she should be on colesevelam. She was on the statin prior to pregnancy due to her diabetes and elevated cardiovascular disease risks, but we felt comfortable that she didn't need aggressive LDL control since her LDLs weren't significantly elevated prior to pregnancy. Additionally, we had to switch her ACE inhibitor for her hypertension to nifedipine. However, she had swelling with that and is now on labetalol. At this time, we're still waiting for her to get pregnant, but we have her on a good cholesterol regimen with acceptable triglyceride levels, as well as good blood pressure control and a good diet. So waiting for her to get pregnant, and whenever she's done lactating, then we'll be able to switch her back to her pre-pregnancy medications.
Absolutely. Thank you again for speaking with me, Dr. Mehta.
Thank you very much for having me.